over the next few weeks, what we're going to try to do is discuss the concepts that our generation is going through. This idea that's known as Ikvasa de Mashiach. What is the time that leads us in to when Mashiach comes? That's going to be our plan, that's going to be our rule, and what we're going to try to figure out. And it's for two reasons. The real reason why we're doing this is for one of two reasons. Number one is that if we truly believe that Mashiach is coming, then we should know what we're looking forward to. If we believe that this is the generation that Mashiach will be here by, then we should be working on those ideas of what's happening in our generation. What are we? What are we doing here? That's number one. But a second reason that's given is also, I think there's something here that everybody should be working on weekly. We're going to try to do something that over the next 7-8 weeks, we're going to try to work on one thing kiseder, and try to take one thing on to build not just our emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our belief that Mashiach is going to come, but it's something that will truly make us into different people, into Mashiach Yidden. And I know that has a bad connotation when people take that in the wrong way, right? I don't mean Mashiachist Yidden. That's not what I mean. But Mashiach Yidden, people that mamish believe and want Mashiach to come. So the Torah tells us, by the seven nations of Canaan, the Canaanim, the Amorim, the Prizim, etc., lo sechaya kol neshama, you can't allow any of them to live. That if you see one of the nations of Canaan, you have to kill them. And that mitzvah applies even nowadays. That if there is someone who you know is of the seven nations of Canaan and you would see them, you're required to kill them. There's a shaila, are they living in Eretz Canaan, not living in Eretz Canaan? But lo sechaya kol neshama, according to the Rambam, is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa that applies even today. In theory, even today. But by a malik, it's a stronger lashon. Doesn't say lo sechaya kol neshama, you can't allow them to live. It says timcha es zecher amalek. You have to erase every memory, every remembrance that there is in the world of amalek. If there is anything that reminds you that amalek exists, that has to be erased. Not just erased, taken out of the world, completely gone. In fact, the halakha was that not only are you killing people of amalek, the men, the women, the children, even the babies of Amalek, but you have to destroy all of their things. If they had animals, you have to destroy their animals. You have to kill every animal out there. That's what we learn from Shaul HaMelech being told by Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi says to Shaul, how could you have left over the animals of Amalek? And Shaul had a good taina. He said, we were just going to bring them as korbanos. That's all we wanted them for. We were going to kill them anyway. We just delayed a little bit so we could bring it as a korban, so we didn't just chop their heads off and that was it. We left a couple cows and a couple sheep and a couple goats. That was wrong. Everything has to be destroyed when it comes to Amalek. Not only that, do we have to destroy everything of Amalek, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu swears that his kiseh, his throne of glory, the kiseh HaKavod, and the shame of Hashem, the actual name of Yudke Vavke, which we don't even pronounce, that name and that throne will not be filled. It will not be mole. Can't be, I just complete until a malek is completely erased from the world. Rashi says that in Parshas Beshalach. Until a malek is gone. We don't expect this. This kind of anger. This kind of an expectation of what we do by anyone else. It's only a malek. And it's so strange. Why? Why is Amalek so bad? What's wrong with them? So we have to go into what Amalek did. Amalek waged war against Bnei Yisrael when we left Egypt. What was their reason? Why did they fight us? So let's think. Did they feel threatened? We were a nation of slaves who got out by clear miracles. We didn't lift a finger. We didn't use a sword when we left Mitzrayim. There was no Egyptian, not one Egyptian, that was killed by a Jew. What were they threatened of? Our army prowess? We had no army. There was no army there. It was a bunch of slaves. That can't be it. Were they threatened that they thought we were coming for their land? We never went for their land. That was never something we were supposed to get. The land of Amalek was never going to be ours. Whether that's the south of Eretz or a little bit to the side or whatever it was, that was never supposed to be ours. So what was it? You know what's strange? We're going in the opposite direction, away from Amalek, down the south of Sinai. We're going away from them. We're leaving a Malik in the dust. And not only that, but we're a nation, again, that has no warring army, no battles, nothing. And a Malik comes after us. Comes after us. Hanecha shalim acharecha, going for the weakest among Klal Yisrael, looking for the weakest that were there. Traveling. We were traveling. We were going from place to place. And a Malik comes to get us. So what were they thinking? A Malik is not a normal nation. This is not a nation of people who are worried about their community, who are worried about their area where they live. A Malik stands for, we are going to fight God. Wherever God is, and whatever represents God, that's what we're going to go up against, and we're going to destroy. If it's a nation that believes in God, we're going to destroy that nation. If it's a land that is given over to God, we're going to destroy that land. If it's a single person who believes in God, we're going to go after them and we're going to destroy them completely. If they had the ability to make ladders and climb up to the heavens and fight God in the heavens, they would do it, even if it meant their own suicide. They'd be willing to sacrifice their lives to go fight against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But they don't. They can't make ladders. They can't fight God physically. So instead, what they do is they go after the next best thing. Wherever they can get someone. Their passion is to cool down everyone else's fire. If there's a bren, a desire for someone to believe in God and to do something for God, they go in there and they just throw in that comedic term, something to make everybody laugh. Oh, you're right. The religion is dumb. They're those guys who say, there is no God. Where do you see a God anywhere? Those people are all a Malik. And it's not for any other reason. See, the seven nations of the world, when they worshiped, seven nations of Canaan, when they worshiped Avodah Zarah, they did it because they had taivas, they had kavod, they had all these things they wanted to do. That's what they were about. They wanted to do that stuff. They wanted to be involved. It was abominable things, but there was a taiva involved. A Malik has no taiva. This is not a desire. It's pure lahakis, just to anger God, just to get in everyone's face and tell them there's nothing. There's no God out there. It's all random. It's all carry, they call it. Something that's just a cool, calm, collected world with Mother Nature running everything. There is no God anywhere. And when they get up and they do things, they do it purely lahakis. You could give them a delicious hamburger that is fully kosher. Something from shallots, something from Milt's. You put it down in front of him. And then you give him a $1 hamburger. You're giving it to him for free. He's not paying for it. You give him a $1 McDonald's hamburger. He says, I'm eating the McDonald's hamburger because I know it's not kosher. Because I know God wants me to eat this. And there is no God. I'm eating this instead. That's what a Malik is all about and what they stand for. And unfortunately, we see this behavior even today. Maybe not to this extreme. Where a person will purposely eat this burger instead of that burger, and not necessarily from other nations, because it could be from us, but we see this all the time. Listen, there's no question there's anti-Semitism in the world. That's whatever. I sometimes think that we take it a little too far, but there's no question there's anti-Semitism in the world. There's no question there's an irrational hatred for Jews around the world. But that was given to us by Har Sinai when there was Sinai stands for the sinna that the nations had for us. There's a jealousy. There's a kavod that we got that they no longer have. That was highlighted by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, 75 years ago. Taken over by them and allowed. And it continues to this day. But that makes sense. That does make sense. They're jealous of us. They want our money. They see what we have. There's a taiva even to take over certain things that we have. That makes sense. I get that. That's not a Malik. So what is a Malik? Where do we see a Malik in our days? So the Chafetz Chaim said 100 years ago, in his time, in 1919, this is literally 100 years ago, that the communists that were in Russia, the Jewish communists, the ones that were involved in the massive revolution when the czars were taken down, and at first it was the Bolsheviks, then the Yasleviks, I forgot what they're called after that, Yasoviks or whatever it is, and eventually the Communist Party, taken over by Jews. He claimed that those Jews were Zera Amalek, the children of Amalek. crazy line. But he's preceded by the Vilna Gaon. The Gra in Evan Shlema, late 1700s, he says in his Perek on Chevle Mashiach, says that the last point right before Mashiach comes, the Erev Rav will be among us and we won't be able to recognize them. There will be five different parts of the Erev Rav. And the lowest and most base of the Erev Rav will be those that are called Amalekim, Jewish neshamas, so to speak, but Amalek deep within. These are the people, says the Vilna Gaon, who are Bali Machlokas, who want to fight. Some of them are leaders. Many of them are very, very wealthy. They have power, they have fame, they have prestige, and they're Jews, fully Jews, Jewish mother and everything. But they are a Zera of Amalek and the Erev Rav. What do they do? What do these people do? They try to find anything you're doing that's right, that's good, something solid, something powerful, and they try to take it down. They make you look at it askance, and you wonder to yourself, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. They're a person in shul with you, who sits there and says, there's no point to any of this. There's no point. So why do you go? Social scene. For the social scene involved. There's people involved. I want to be around you people. Can't marry not Jewish. So I'm going to be around a little bit. This is what he calls the Zera of Amalek. It's scary. When Jews follow in their footsteps and Jews get involved, it becomes even worse. It becomes even scarier. But this is something that we have literally in our hands. It's something in front of us even today. That's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu needs to rid himself of in order for his name to be filled again. You want the kise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be full? The name of Yud Kei Vav Kei to be full again? For there to be who? Hei Vav Aleph back in the world. Instead, right now it's Kes Yah, the throne of Hashem, but Kes is missing the Aleph. The Yud Hei is missing the Vav Hei. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu back in the world, and to be more direct, we want that message where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us when we're over on an Avera, he says, buddy, you did something wrong. What Saras was like back in the day, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu would put his hand on you, so to speak, and make you white and realize you did something wrong. Well, when you turned off a light on Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would look at you and say, come on, why? Why are you not thinking? It's Shabbos. This is not what Shabbos is all about. To make sure that we wake up in the morning, that we're up for Shacharis. How could you not get up for Shacharis? It's a Rosh Chodesh davening. It's Shabbos. It's a Shabbos davening. How could you not be up for such a thing? In order for that to happen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a Malik to be gone. And until that happens, every miracle that happens to us, whether as a nation, whether that's 1948 or 1967 or 1972 and 3 or 1981 when they bombed Iraq, 1991 in Desert Storm, whether it's 2001 with this first intifada, 2009-10 in the second intifada, whatever the miracles are, where it doesn't make any sense. How are the Jews defeating every other nation? Or how are the Jews not dying with all these missiles being shot at them, with all these suicide bombers going up against them? Are the Arabs that bad at what they're doing? Are they that horrible? The answer is no. They're really smart. They do a lot of great things. Granted, they haven't made anything since algebra, but sure, they have something great about them. And there's something good that they have ideas about what they want to do, and they have plans. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is thwarting every single one of them. Every single one. They're able to get one in once in a while, unfortunately. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us, even if we see it as a miracle, that's in a general sense. Us personally, the personal miracles that we see, what it means that Hashem's shame and kisei are not full means we don't see God in our lives as full as we should because Amalek exists. You know, there's a minute after we read Parshas Amalek, we do Zecher Amalek and Parshas Zachor. There's a minute that the Hasidim do that after they finish the Parsha, they stamp their foot as if obliterating the Amalek that's within them. as if getting rid of their own Amalek, because we all have it within us, that doubt, that gnawing doubt that's sitting there telling us, you're wasting your time. There is no God. He's not really here. Because we have it within us that Amalek is not just on the outside, it's on the inside as well. And when people call us crazy, we call ourselves crazy for what we're doing. Don't tell me that you've ever thought that Kiddush Levana makes sense. Kiddush Levana is the strangest thing that anyone has done. It's the strangest thing in the world. What are we doing? We're going out to the moon? We're going up and we're dancing a little bit? And then we just go like in a circle? Tovim Laros. What are we doing? We have a little bit of Amalek within us. That little bit of us that's saying, what are you doing? What are you around? So what can we do? How do we rid ourselves of that Amalek? And how do we get ourselves to the next level where we're beginning to get back the Kisei and the shame? The first thing, the first step is going to be in our Shemona Esrei. Every single day, you say, Est Semach David Avdecha. Our first step is, don't be miyayish from the Geula. Don't give up hope. It's been a long time, thousands of years, since we've had the Beis HaMikdash. Don't give up. We have no idea why Hashem is making it happen this way. We have no idea when Hashem is going to bring it back. We have no idea how it's going to happen. Even with all the Nevuos in Yeshaya and Yirmiyah and Yechezkel telling us about what's going to be in the future, we have no clue how, when, or why. But the what we have to believe in. And every single day, three times a day, when we say, we speak in our Shemona Esrei, we are telling a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I believe it's going to happen. Es Tzemach David Avdecha Mehera Satzmiach. We're asking for Mashiach, who is the Tzemach of David Avdecha, to quickly sprout out. And instead of running through it, which is our norm when it comes to that part of Shemona Esrei, because there's no real bakasha there. It's not like Rifa'enu. It's not like Barech Aleinu. It's not even like Atachone. For us to stand for a second and to say to ourselves, Es Tzemach David Avdecha, and to concentrate when saying it, is the first step in realizing there is a Geula. It will happen. It's going to happen. And it's going to be awesome. So the first job is to believe, to sit back and realize and remember, I should say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, even if it seems impossible. How is that going to happen in the world like today? And when we do that, once we get there, once we realize Hashem is truly behind it all, behind the scenes, making it happen, and we say it daily, then we can start building ourselves up a little bit more and building up the world around us. We come first. And then afterward, let's see what we can do about everyone around us. Let's stop with that right now, everyone. Have a great rest of the week.